Good evening. I'd like to call to order the Town of Curry Beach Planning and Zoning Meeting for Wednesday, August 5th, 2026. The first item I want to bring up is that George Thomas is not here this evening, but he did call in and give a reason. So that would be an excused absence.
I'll move that we excuse him from the meeting tonight.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, George will be excused tonight. Next is adoption of the agenda. You have the agenda in front of you. Are there any comments about the agenda?
I'll move the adopt the agenda as presented.
I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the agenda is adopted as presented. Next item is the adoption of the minutes. The minutes are from April 1st, 2026. That was a regular meeting that we had. The minutes were sent out. Does anyone have any comments on the minutes? If not, we'll look to approve those.
I move to approve.
I did have one question. P&Z members present. It has me as a member. Just from, am I the co or the vice chairperson?
You are.
I am. Okay. All right. I mean, it doesn't need to be there. I'm just wondering.
Okay. Okay, go ahead. Do you need a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
All right. A motion has been made and seconded to approve the minutes from April 1st, 2026. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the minutes are approved from April 1st, 2026. Public comment. Beth, do we have anybody signed up for public comment? Or?
No, sir.
All right, then I'm not going to bother reading that statement. There is no old business to discuss.
Let me ask one question. I don't know if this would be under old business, but status of the alternate member. Do we have an alternate?
I've advertised. I've had no one apply.
No one apply. Okay.
So I've received no application.
So if anyone knows anybody that would be interested, send them our way. Okay, item six, new business. We have a proposed text amendment application tonight to KBC 1536-100, modification of required yard setbacks by David and Nancy Kuchler.
Kuchler.
All right. I'm assuming you're Nancy.
I am.
Would you like to present the amendment, what you have for us to approve, or would you like me to do that?
You could do it.
Okay, I'll do it. Let me kind of call it up here. Sorry, give me 1 second. Okay, the text amendment is to KBC 1536-100, and you see it up on the screen in front of you. The red items, the red letters, are the changed amendment. And the last sentence reads, on corner lots, architectural features may extend 24 inches into the 10-foot side setback. That's existing. The new wording is, or 24 inches into the 20-foot front setback in the case of a reverse corner lot. So that's the change. That half a sentence is what we're looking at.
Okay. I did have a question on that. A reverse corner lot, do we need a definition of that?
Well, the code has, we do have a definition in the subdivision regulations and also in the zoning regulations. So let me read the definition out of the zoning regs, since this is what we're talking about here. Not subdivisions. So in 1502.010, it says a lot, comma, reverse corner, shall mean a corner lot which does not front on the same street with the interior lots on the same side. Now, if you want a definition of that, I can't give it to you. but actually, further down in 1536.060, it says for side. Let me see. For side yards on corner lots, whereas the resident the minimum width.
Could you read that again?
I'll let you look at it right there.
Which does not front on the same street with interior lots on the same side. See, that doesn't make sense because a corner lot would always front.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. So I'll tell you what my interpretation of it is, just when the front of the house is on that side setback yard instead of where the front setback is. The front setback's always going to be on the narrow side of the road.
Right.
And there's always going to be, on that lot down the line, there's always going to be difference on one side of front. So it doesn't make a ton of sense the way it's written. But I've always interpreted it to mean if the frontage of your house is on that 10-foot setback side, and then the side of your house is on the 20-foot setback side.
Can I ask a question about the post office number? Would that have anything to do with it? So if you had a street and somebody had a post office, you know, an address that's on that particular street, but the house doesn't front to that street. Would be considered a reverse corner lot.
What I've always known is that where the address is doesn't make a difference to the front.
Okay, all right.
I
think everybody kind of understands this.
So. But I don't think it's required to. There's a lot that are backwards on that, so I'm not sure why they've done like that in the past. But that's the way I interpret it, but I agree with you that the way it's written.
Depending on which street you're standing on, one of it would be satisfied.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I guess you could look at it as the address sign, but you're still going to have most of the ones that are the front of the actual house is on that side. Most of them do have the address on that side as well, but that's not always the case.
Okay.
And see, the other thing to note is the houses right next to this reverse corner lot, or even a corner lot, the setbacks are completely different. So the corner lot has a more restrictive setback than the properties on either side of it. So, just to mention here for this approval, if it does get approved, this isn't just for one application where it's being presented. This now applies to the entire town. On every reverse corner lot, this 24-inch setback would apply. And then we're already allowing 18 inches into the side yard, which is a lot narrower than this 20-foot front. So,
asking for 6 more inches, basically.
Yeah.
And I think the real intent of this is just because the corner lots already are, like you said, more restrictive and tough to kind of align with our zoning in the first place. And then when you reverse it, it's even harder. It just gives a little bit of extra allowance for not just architectural details, but like exterior stairs to kind of encroach into that 20-foot setback as well.
And I did review all of the department emails, and no one had any objection to it.
Well, I'll move approval of the proposed text amendment application to KBC 15.36.10, modification required yard, submitted by David and Nancy
Kukler.
Just to clarify, you're moving to recommend that the board.
Yes. Yeah. And now, do I have to have a separate motion for the consistency statement?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll do it right. Yeah.
Okay.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. So we do have the motion for approval with a second. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll take a vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? None opposed. The text amendment motion has passed to move forward to the
And that's
town
a recommendation,
council.
A recommendation to council. Okay. Second thing is I move approval of the consistency statement that is represented by PRO, P-R-O.
P-R-O. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, there's been a motion and a second to approve the consistency statement for the PRO, and there's been a second. Any further discussion on that? All right, hearing none, we'll take a vote on the motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? All right, the consistency statement motion passes. All right, that's it for new business 6.1. And I have that here to sign, right? That's for later?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
I have both printed.
Okay. The last item here on the agenda, item 6.2, is a discussion of future PZC projects. This kind of came up when I submitted to Beth and Jim my final syntactical effort for chapters 1 through 15. So I have completed going back through all the chapters again, catching up on the earlier chapters with the final, and we just felt that it was too quick to bring that to this meeting because I know Bethany wants to take a look at it a little further on some of the wording in there. So that will most likely be presented for review at the next planning and zoning meeting. So that's where we stand on that project. So with that finished, or you know, real close to being finished.
I'm going to interrupt.
Okay.
I spoke with Bethany this week, and I know that in the future, hopefully the near future when you find some time, you want to review the code in the fall and winter with you and Brittany and figure out exactly where you want any more changes of the code to be. Yes. Is that something you want to hold off on any more syntactical changes?
I think we should, just because of the work involved with it for Beth as well. We can do the syntactical at the same time, because I'm going to want to look and possibly rewrite, discuss some of the ordinances in chapter 11 and chapter 15, maybe some other places. It's going to take me some time. So after the summer slows down, me and Brittany plan on kind of going through everything.
And we have the stormwater.
I don't know what it takes for you to rewrite them, but I don't see
a lot.
I don't see rewriting the syntactical errors when we're just going to come back and change them again in a couple months. So we could just do that all at once.
I know Mayor Pro Tem Hagler is going to have a lot of changes to chapter as well.
We have actual changes we need to make too. So.
With respect to the chapter, did you say 11?
Yes.
Chapter 11 and 15, when we converted the code over to 160D, track 160D very carefully, very precisely. So if you all would be kind enough when you're ready to do it, let me review it before we turn it over to PZC.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Thank you.
And the only comment I would have to that is that means that when you do make your changes, we're going to require a public hearing, and all these syntactical things are going to muddy the water, for lack of a better idea. I mean, I was just thinking it may be better to get all this junk out of the way and then hit a technical review, because we have been working on this for almost 2 years now.
I understand that, but I think at the same time, we have attorney hours and fees that we do pay to Jim when he reviews the code, and we are on a tight budget already starting this year. So putting that at the same time when we do the syntactical, when we're already reviewing the code, I feel like maybe you may want to speak more on that if it's your budget. But
yeah, I had mentioned a few years ago, or maybe even a year ago, that anything that's involving attorney time and hours project-wise, I need to know. We need to talk about it beforehand, because I have to budget for those items.
I understand, but I do also know the council requested this project. We embarked on it, and we're 95% done with it. And if we stop now, it just doesn't make sense to me. But
well, we don't need to stop. You can give me your changes that you've already done, and the stuff that I'm not touching will still apply. But if I am going to change it, then we can work it into it.
Okay.
It's just combining the two projects together
We just don't have the time to go in and do it on the staff end right now.
Okay.
And it's a lot. The software for the code is not an easy software. It's very difficult software to work in. So, like, it will take that, like, I don't know, weeks to go through.
I know.
Just trying to
take me weeks
and be more efficient and cost-effective is all I'm asking. And any projects going forward that PNZ wants to do, I really need it. We need to talk about it before, so that we can make sure, A, that I have the money available for the attorney to jump off.
Okay.
I've had a lot of other things going on in the town that I've kind of had to direct those resources to. So I just try to have to manage that.
And I understand that. I don't know of any other projects that we've embarked on that you didn't know about up front.
We've got some unexpected hearings that are going to have to occur that require a lot of time.
Okay, so plan for those unexpected hearings.
You want me to say? Well, quasi-judicial, not necessarily.
All right. All right, well, that's all I have to say about the last item on the agenda, unless anyone has any projects that they are thinking of embarking on.
Yeah, let me, I mean, we've talked about what we should be doing, you know, now that we're done with this synthetic type of thing. We've been thinking about what sort of changes the modern world is making that might impact us. Because, we're, you know, Curie Beach is built out. I think we've done a great job. I think we've addressed the vast majority of issues. That's why we don't have a lot of things to do these days. But I do think, I've been kind of noting a couple things here that we may want to look at. I think we need to clean up the idea of accessory dwellings. I mean, we certainly have that in our statute. But I think there's going to be more and more pressure about that. And I know that, you know, grandma units and all these type of things are built, a generation kind of moves in, and all of a sudden these become rental units or Airbnbs and all that sort of thing. You know, one of the big issues is when you kind of Google these sort of things or AI, you know, the idea of climate resilience. You know, do we want to kind of think about any sort of climate resilient type of issues? I think we're having more and more home businesses, you know, after COVID. Everybody on my street worked from the house. And I don't know if we want to kind of look at that in a little more detail. And then finally, more and more electrical cars. You know, I think we need to look at, you know, if it's really the responsibility of us, but I think we could look about making recommendations for charging units where they might be placed. You know, if we want to consider, you know, any sort of regulations associated with private charging units and these sort of things. So, you know, just some ideas to throw out there. Nothing to put on the calendar, but just some things to think about.
Maybe some of those, especially accessory dwelling units, will get picked up in Bethany's review.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly.
Yeah, that's definitely something I'll be digging into.
Right. Now, and from what I understand, when this whole thing started, I was involved with planning and zoning and city councils out in California. And at that time, it was being driven by federal law. I mean, this is a long time ago, like 30-some-odd years ago. And that's when the federal law came in and said that you had to allow these accessory units, but they're fairly strict, like you couldn't have a kitchen in them, for example. Now there's state rules and that sort of thing. So I think one of the issues is, you know, how much are we driven by federal law in some of these things? Because I know there's still some federal laws out there. So, yeah, I mean, just some things to think about for these accessory dwelling units. And certainly in California, I guarantee you that anybody on the beach these days puts one in their backyard. And they turn around Airbnb these things as beachfront properties. It's standard. Okay. That's all I have. So, is there a motion to adjourn? I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion to adjourn and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Meeting's adjourned. Thank you, everyone.